Welcome to Jury Duty. I'm your host, Chris Terracone. Season 8 of Jury Duty explores the trial of Alex Murdoch, a member of one of the most powerful families in South Carolina, who is accused of murdering his son Paul and his wife Maggie, with the purpose of covering up a multitude of alleged crimes including fraud and homicide. In our last episode, we continued our look at the direct examination of SLED forensic DNA expert Agent Sarah Zapata. In this installment, we conclude our review of the direct examination of Ms. Zapata and begin our look at the defense's cross-examination of the witness. That's all coming up right after the break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It is just before the lunch break on February 13th, 2023, day 14 of the trial of Alex Murdoch. As we concluded our last episode, under questioning by prosecutor Savannah Goud, SLED agent Sarah Zapata told the jury that tests of DNA specimens found on the shirt of Alex Murdoch indicated a high likelihood that some of those specimens were from Alex, Paul, and/or Maggie Murdoch. As we begin this installment, Prosecutor Goud continues her questioning of the witness by asking her about other kinds of forensic testing conducted on Alex Murdoch's shirt.
In addition to this shirt being analyzed for DNA, Agent Nguyen told the jury a little bit about it being tested for blood. Can you explain what you did to test this shirt for the presence of blood?
I was asked to perform a hematrace test on the cuttings from the shirt. As Ms. Nguyen described, it's our confirmatory test for blood. It works similarly to a pregnancy test or a COVID test. One line in the control area is a negative result, a line in the control area and the test area would be a positive result.
Testing with hematrace?
Yes.
And what were the results of the hematrace testing on all of the items that you just discussed to the jury?
For items 19.2 through 19.13, the result was no human blood identified.
And could you explain that to us? We had presumptive testing for blood and then some other testing and then the hematrace, which says there was no blood. So what does that mean?
Presumptive tests are sensitive but not very specific. Like discussed earlier, there are possible false positives for presumptive tests. If we're requested to, we can perform a confirmatory test, which is more specific but is less sensitive.
So in your opinion, if there was blood on that shirt, could testing such as with LCV have diluted any blood on the shirt?
I am aware of some studies that have been performed on hematrace testing after LCV that suggests that there is a possible interaction with the LCV and the hematrace test, and it is possible for there to be amounts of hemoglobin that would not be detected by the test that would give a negative result, but the results of my testing were negative.
And as we've discussed, testing for blood and testing for DNA is different.
Yes.
All right.
Prosecutor Goud moves on to asking the witness about tests conducted on another key piece of evidence.
You also tested the defendant's pants?
Yes.
Did you test those in a similar manner to the way you would test the cuttings from the shirt?
Do you mean for DNA?
Yes.
Yes.
That would be State's Exhibit 418, the defendant's pants. and the cuttings items 460 and 461. Your items 20.2. So I guess as briefly as we can, let's discuss some of the results from the cuttings from those hints. Item 20.2 is a cutting from the front left interior pocket of the defendant's pants. Were any individuals included?
So for item 20.2, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from three individuals. This was one where I calculated his likelihood ratio to see if I could condition on him as a contributor. So the result of that comparison is the DNA profile is approximately 140 quadrillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture than if three unidentified unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. And so then for the comparisons to the other individuals, Richard Alexander Murdaugh is contributing to the mixture, and the scenarios are Richard Alexander Murdaugh, the person being compared, and an unidentified unrelated individual contributed to the mixture versus Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 5.1 sextillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Margaret Murdaugh, and an unidentified unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. For the comparison to Paul Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 25 quintillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Paul Murdaugh, and an unidentified unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. And for the comparison of all those individuals together, the DNA profile is approximately 2 quintillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Margaret Murdaugh, and Paul Murdaugh contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture.
The next cutting is item 20.3, a cutting from stain A on the defendant's pants.
For 20.3, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from three individuals. Richard Alexander Murdaugh is contributing to the mixture. For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 94 septillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Margaret Murdaugh, and an unidentified unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture.
All right, 20.4, stain G from the defendant's pants. You could tell us if any individuals were included in that analysis.
For 20.4, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from three individuals. Richard Alexander Murdaugh is contributing to the mixture. For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 24 sextillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Margaret Murdaugh, and an unidentified unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture.
Was that the only comparison for that item?
That was the only...
Included?
Yes, for that item.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Prosecutor Savannah Goud continues to ask Agent Zapata to share with the jury the results of DNA testing conducted on each of the cuttings or pieces of the shorts worn by the defendant on the night of the murders.
Let's move to the next one. I think that would be 20.5, a cutting from stain C from the defendant's pants. Please tell us if any individuals were included.
For 20.5, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from two individuals. Richard Alexander Murdaugh is contributing to the mixture. for the comparison to Paul Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 4.1 septillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and Paul Murdaugh contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture.
And I think we have three left. Item 20.6, a cutting from stain D from the defendant's pants.
The DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from three individuals. This was one where I was not able to assume Richard Alexander Murdaugh as a contributor, so I'm making the comparisons to each person individually.
You can't assume him. Why?
When making that comparison, it seems that his DNA may be present, but at a low level, so I cannot assume him as a contributor. So I would run his likelihood ratio to see if I could condition, but in this case, it was not high enough to meet our threshold to condition, so I'm just comparing him to the profile like every other individual. For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 930 quintillion times more likely if Margaret Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual, the DNA profile is approximately 930 quintillion times more likely if Margaret Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture than if three unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. For the comparison to Paul Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 38 quintillion times more likely if Paul Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture than if three unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. For the comparison to Richard Alexander Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 190 times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture than if three unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. And then we're calculating the statistic for all of those individuals together. The DNA profile is approximately 8.7 quintillion times more likely if Margaret Murdaugh, Paul Murdaugh, and Richard Alexander Murdaugh contributed to the mixture than if three unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. And there is that same statement about putting more weight on the individual likelihood ratio for Richard Alexander Murdaugh when considering him as a contributor rather than the combined.
Item 20.7. Hopefully that should be an easy one.
For 20.7, a DNA profile was developed. Due to the inability to determine the number of contributors, no further interpretation will be offered.
And then lastly, item 20.8, a cutting from stain F of defendant's pants.
For 20.8, the DNA profile was interpreted as a mixture originating from three individuals. I calculated the likelihood ratio for Richard Alexander Murdaugh to see if it met our threshold to condition on him as a contributor. The result for his comparison is the DNA profile is approximately 320 million times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture than if three unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. And then when making comparisons to the other individuals, I'm including him as a contributor. So Richard Alexander Murdaugh is contributing to the mixture. For the comparison to Margaret Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 2.6 sextillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Margaret Murdaugh, and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. For the comparison to Paul Murdaugh, the DNA profile is approximately 17 quintillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Paul Murdaugh, and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture. And then once again, we're calculating the likelihood ratio of all of those individuals contributing to the mixture together. The DNA profile is approximately 93 quatuor decillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh, Margaret Murdaugh, and Paul Murdaugh contributed to the mixture than if Richard Alexander Murdaugh and two unidentified, unrelated individuals contributed to the mixture.
Now, as far as the shorts or defendant's pants go, did you do any confirmatory testing on those with hematrace?
No, I did not.
Prosecutor Goud next asks Agent Zapata to explain to the jury the results of DNA tests of the shoes that Alex Murdaugh was wearing on the night of the murders.
Exhibit 419 is the defendant's shoes, which is item 21. And in Exhibit 460, I believe it's up here in some of this.
Gowd hands Agent Zapata a small evidence bag.
Can you tell us what is contained, if a cutting from the left shoelace of the defendant's shoes is contained in that exhibit?
Yes, 21.2 is part of this container.
And did you analyze the cutting from that shoelace?
Yes.
Okay. And were any individuals included in your results there?
The DNA profile was interpreted as single source for the comparison to Richard Alexander Murdaugh. The result is the DNA profile is approximately 410 septillion times more likely if Richard Alexander Murdaugh contributed the profile than if an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed the profile.
And did you also get some swabs from a raincoat?
Yes, I did.
That would be case exhibit 462, two swabs from a blue raincoat. Your items 173.2 and 173.3?
Yes.
And you analyzed those items?
Yes, I did.
Item 173.2 from the raincoat appears to be swabs from the interior cuffs, collar, hood, and interior zipper areas and zipper pull of the blue raincoat. Could you tell us the results of your analysis of that item?
No DNA profile was developed.
And then item 173.3, swabs from the side opening zipper area in both interior portions of exterior pocket of blue raincoat.
A partial DNA profile was developed. Due to the limited information obtained and the inability to determine the number of contributors, no further interpretation will be offered.
Okay, Agent Zapata, thank you so much for going through all that with us. We have no further questions for you at this point.
Prosecutor Gowd concludes her direct examination of Agent Zapata, and Judge Clifton Newman calls for the lunch break. After the break, defense attorney Philip Barber rises to begin his cross-examination of the witness. Agent Zapata flips through her notes as she answers Mr. Barber's questions.
Good afternoon, Agent Zapata.
Good afternoon.
We've gone through a pretty long list of things that you did analysis on. Did you do any analysis on any clothing or anything from the victim's bodies other than Maggie Murdaugh's fingernail clippings?
I analyzed Margaret Murdaugh's fingernail clippings, Paul Murdaugh's fingernail clippings, as well as their buccal swabs.
And when you say their buccal swabs, that was simply to collect their DNA to perform analysis, is that correct?
That was the known standard that I used to make comparisons, yes.
And under Maggie Murdaugh's left fingernail clippings, did you found unidentified male DNA?
Foreign to Margaret Murdaugh, there were some alleles present, yes.
Well, we'll say some alleles present. Was there DNA from an unrelated male under her fingernails?
For item 70, yes, one of the alleles indicates a male contributor.
Were Paul and Alec Murdaugh excluded as contributors?
Yes.
So male DNA under her fingernails, not from Paul, not from Alec Murdaugh?
The foreign DNA to her, yes, they were excluded as contributors.
Would it have been possible to perform any further analysis on this, a Y chromosome profile?
It is possible, but because there were so many male individuals who were related to each other as standards that were submitted, it was decided that that would not be the best course of action to continue analysis because the Y chromosome testing that you're discussing is inherited along the males of a familial line, and so there will be no way to distinguish between any related males.
Making this determination, were you all aware, as we had previous testimony, that Maggie Murdaugh had been to a nail salon late that afternoon?
I did not have any information about that, no.
So if her nails were quite clean coming to Moselle, she doesn't have a lot of opportunity to have contact with unrelated males.
Prosecutor Gowd rises to object on the grounds that Philip Barber is offering testimony rather than asking questions. Judge Clifton Newman overrules the objection.
So if her nails were clean coming to Moselle, it doesn't appear that she has much opportunity to have that kind of contact with unrelated males, does it?
It could be DNA, DNA under fingernails. You're picking up DNA anytime you touch an item, potentially. If she did get her nails done, it's possible that somewhere at the nail salon, there was DNA that she picked up under her fingernail. So we can't really tell you how or when the DNA got there. But at any point in time between getting her nails done and arriving home, she could touch an object and potentially DNA from that object could be under her fingernails, or she can touch an individual and their DNA be under her fingernails in that way.
Are you familiar with something called CODIS?
Yes.
And what is CODIS?
CODIS is a database that we use to enter unknown profiles from a crime to attempt to identify links between different cases and also between individuals who maybe have been arrested or convicted of a crime.
So it's a database that you can submit DNA samples to and see if you get a hit and can identify whose DNA it is.
Correct.
Was this unidentified unknown male DNA found under Maggie Murdaugh's fingernails submitted to CODIS?
It was not, because like we explained earlier, there were only three alleles present that were foreign to her, and that does not meet the threshold of information necessary to enter a profile into CODIS.
And it was decided not to do this further Y chromosome analysis on.
Correct.
Is it unusual in your experience to not test the victim's clothing for DNA?
It depends on the situation of the case.
A situation where an unknown person has killed two people in close, you know, close point-blank shootings?
It would depend on the question that you're trying to answer when you are processing the clothing. Typically, victims of gunshot wounds, their clothing will be saturated in their blood, or there'll be lots of their blood present. And so if you're looking for touch DNA from maybe an individual, we would need to know the specific area of interest to attempt to gather that touch DNA from, because the potential blood from the victims would be on the clothing. So we need to be able to isolate a specific area. If that information is not known, then there's not very much that we can do with that clothing, because there's just no specified area for us to test.
What about their hands? Wouldn't their hands always be an area of interest?
Again, it depends. If there is evidence of a struggle, then perhaps, which is why we would take the fingernail clippings. If we don't know, then sometimes you take the fingernail clippings just to see if you can get some DNA from the fingernail clippings. But
And the one time something was taken from them, it revealed unknown, unidentifiable male DNA.
A very partial, low-level profile, foreign to Margaret.
And you found Maggie Murdaugh's DNA on the 300 blackout shell casings that were recovered. Is that correct?
Are you referring to item 7.1?
Yes.
She was included as a contributor to that item, yes.
And your report doesn't separate between individual shell casings, does it?
No.
And is your report consistent with one of those shell casings being found in physical contact with her body?
I believe there was information from the crime scene that one of the shell casings was recovered from underneath her body.
And is your report consistent with that, that DNA could be transferred by physical contact?
That's possible, yes.
And for the shot shells found in the feed room that had a presumptive blood test positive, you found Paul's DNA on those, is that correct?
Paul was included as a contributor to that item, yes, 10.1.
And is that consistent with those being found in a room soaked with his blood?
It would not be unexpected.
And for the steering wheel of the Chevy Suburban, there was a positive human blood test, and I believe you found Maggie and Alex Murdaugh's DNA on the steering wheel?
For item 56?
Yes.
For item 56, which was a mixture, was interpreted as a mixture originating from two individuals, both Margaret and Richard Alexander Murdaugh were included as contributors.
So, yes.
They were included as contributors.
Yes. And is that consistent with someone who has handled Margaret Murdaugh's deceased body, which is unfortunately covered in blood, and then driving the vehicle?
Can't ever tell you exactly how the DNA was deposited onto an item. I can just tell you what the DNA profile
is. And I'm not asking you to. I'm just asking, is it consistent? Is there anything in your report that would exclude that explanation?
It's a possibility.
And for the two shotguns, neither one of those had Paul's DNA, is that correct?
Can you give me an item number,
please? I can. Sorry, just a sec.
Agent Zapata begins flipping through her notes seeking to identify the results in question.
The first one is item 15.
Item 15 were swabs from the Camo Benelli 12-gauge shotgun from receiver forward of the loading port, and Paul Murda was excluded as a contributor to that item.
And the other shotgun was item 22?
For 22.4, which was interpreted as a mixture originating from two individuals, Paul Murda was excluded as a contributor. For item 22.5, due to the relatedness of the contributors, I was not able to offer a conclusion regarding Paul Murda. So that's a situation that we talked about earlier, where sometimes if there's a small amount of DNA present, we cannot distinguish between related individuals. And so I was not able to make any comparisons to Paul to that item.
But you're not able to say for either one of those shotguns that Paul's DNA was detected?
He was excluded as a contributor for 22.4. For 22.5, I couldn't make any comparisons to him either way.
And again, is there anything in your test results that would be inconsistent with somebody who, with Alec Murda, having Maggie Murda's blood on his hands, having just visited the crime scene and handling those two weapons?
Again, I can't really say exactly how the DNA was deposited onto an item.
And then later you did some DNA testing on the white T-shirt he was wearing, correct?
Yes.
Did anyone ever tell you why you were being asked to perform those tests?
Which tests do you mean?
On his white T-shirt.
The DNA analysis on the T-shirt?
So the DNA one.
It was submitted with a request to for DNA for blood. And so when items come in with a request for DNA blood, we will test it. If it is presumptive positive, then we'll move forward with DNA analysis on that item.
So did anyone say we believe he's wearing this shirt that night? Is that why you're testing it for blood? Just to see if that, right? Someone's asking you to do this work. Did anyone say we think he was wearing this shirt that night during these murders? Let's test it for DNA and for blood.
I know that the shirt was removed from his body when it was collected. As far as when he was wearing the shirt, I don't have any information about that.
We pull up what's been previously admitted as the Defense Exhibit 32.
Defense Attorney Barber presents an image of Alex Murdoch's shirt on the courtroom monitor.
You recognize this, correct?
Yes.
And this shows where the cuttings were made from the shirt, right? The A, B, C, D, E.
Yes.
And just kind of going through very quickly, cutting A down here in the bottom, did you find Maggie or Paul's DNA in cutting A?
Cutting A is item 19.4?
Yes.
For 19.4, Margaret Murda was excluded as a contributor, and Paul Murda was included as a contributor.
So we have Paul and A. In B, did you find Maggie or Paul?
For item 19.5, Paul was excluded as a contributor, and Margaret Murda was included as a contributor.
Okay. And for C, which is going up a bit, so now we're off the bottom of the shirt, did you find Maggie or Paul?
For item 19.6, again, I was not able to make any comparisons to Paul due to the relatedness of the contributors, but Margaret was included as a contributor to that mixture.
Okay. For cutting D, now we're up at the right shoulder, did you find Maggie or Paul there?
For item 19.7, I could not make any comparisons to Paul due to the relatedness of the contributors, and Margaret was included as a contributor to the mixture.
Did you also find Nolan from D?
He was also included as a contributor to the mixture.
Going over to the other shoulder, did you find Maggie or Paul in E?
For 19.8, Paul Murda was excluded as a contributor, and Margaret Murda was included as a contributor to the mixture.
Okay. So no Paul but Maggie there. Now coming down all the way to the bottom, G, did you find Maggie or Paul there?
Paul was excluded as a contributor to the mixture.
Now finally, for both F and H up here, did you get any results for either one of those?
For 19.10, Margaret was also included as a contributor. Sorry, just to finish that result.
Sorry.
You were asking about
F and H. Did you get any results for either one of those?
For F, which was our item 19.9, A DNA profile was developed, but due to the inability to determine the number of contributors, no further interpretation will be offered. For H, which is our item 19.11, Paul was excluded as a contributor. And for Margaret, the comparison to Margaret, an uninformative statistical result was obtained. No conclusion can be made regarding Margaret Murdaugh as a possible contributor to the mixture under the list of propositions, which in this case the propositions were Richard Alexander Murdaugh and Margaret Murdaugh contributed to the mixture versus Richard Alexander Murdaugh and an unidentified, unrelated individual contributed to the mixture. And that's a situation I described earlier where the seesaw is balanced, so it can't tell me in either direction which scenario is a better explanation of the DNA profile.
So the only part of this shirt that we see right here at the front where you can say that you did find Paul's DNA is down here at A, the bottom right part of the shirt, correct?
For item A, I did have an inclusionary likelihood ratio for Paul. For several of the other stains, there was I could not distinguish between him and other related individuals, so I could not make comparisons to him.
But the only place you definitely did find Paul was A, is that correct? In the front of the shirt.
That was the only item where there was an inclusionary likelihood ratio for Paul.
With that, we bring to a close this episode of Jury Duty, the trial of Alex Murdaugh. Please join us on our next installment as we conclude our review of the testimony of SLED agent Sarah Zapata. Also, check out the Ambie-nominated crime story podcast Night Raid, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you would like to listen to these episodes early and ad-free, head over to our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You can find more information about this trial on our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page or at crimestory.com. Jury Duty is created and produced by Carrie and Tholis. It was co-produced, written, and edited by yours truly, Chris Terracone. Music for this episode was provided by Strike Audio. Trial audio is courtesy of Law & Crime Networks. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will come back for the next episode of Jury Duty.